the best AI tools for content creation, along with their strengths and weaknesses. So the big question is, how are entrepreneurs like us who have too much to do and too little time able to build both the business and the life of our dreams? That's the question. And on this podcast, we'll explore the journey to the answer. My name is Brett Ingram, entrepreneur and award-winning product creator. I chose to build a business and have a time for a personal life, and I want to help you do the same. Welcome to Optimize. So using AI for content, there are a lot of pluses and minuses about this, but the fact of the matter is, it's inescapable, the idea that AI is coming for the content marketing industry, right? We really can't ignore the idea that AI exists or pretend that it isn't going to matter just because we want to create authentic content. And so it's important to be able to figure out exactly how AI can be used, what tools should be used, and how we can use them to supplement and to increase and enhance the content that we're already creating. On the flip side of that, there are definitely some people and some schools of thought where people are trying to replace every single thing that they're doing with content created from AI. And that's a dangerous game, and it's probably not one that's really smart long-term. First of all, just from a pure, just like machine element of it all, right? And just the pure dollars and cents. The fact of the matter is, AI content, for all its great like evolutions and how much better it's getting, there are also tools being devised that can determine and decipher what content was created by AI. And in fact, some platforms like YouTube are starting to roll out regulations where if all of your content is pure AI, you'll need to actually disclose that in order to make sure that your channel stays online. For people that try to skirt the system, create pure AI content, and then get away with it as their own, likelihood that bad things are coming for them. The fact of the matter is, AI is really good and can be valuable in certain contexts. At the same time, it doesn't replace us as the content creators, as the human beings, as the people behind it all. And so the real question comes down to, how do we use it? What tools should we use? And what is the best way to deploy this where it gives us the best of both worlds, right? So AI is always changing and evolving. So right off the top, like the disclaimer, right? No matter what I say in today's episode, obviously if you fast forward 6 months, a year, 2 years, the stage will probably be completely different. The standards will be different. The tools will be different and everything about it. And so what I'm going to be talking about today, obviously, is the current state. And I'm focusing mostly on mainstream tools, the general AI engines, not so much one-off API versions of these or retail versions where people got the tool and then made some changes to it. There might be tools out there that we could pay for that will do those kinds of things. And again, those are always going to be evolving as well. And there are also a lot more AI tools than just the scope of what I'm going to cover. But I want to focus on the main ones because I think that this is important in terms of understanding sort of what direction to go in terms of using AI for our content. So AI tools for content creation can be focused on generating text. It can certainly write paragraphs and blog posts and things like that. We can create images with AI. So we could do photorealistic type images, or we could do illustration type images and those kinds of things. We can do videos at this point. There are various different video engines that are out there. The original ones pretty much just took text and scrolled it on various different backgrounds. Now there are ones where they will actually create a video, and the newest generation are actually ones where you can stage the video by saying what proportion you want, like the character in the middle to be to the background and things like that. So it's getting more and more sophisticated, no doubt. And there are other types of content as well. But here are some of the best tools in the domain, along with their strengths and weaknesses, because I think it's important to understand that too. And not just fall in love with a tool because it does a couple of good things really well, and then we need to find out that we're going to be changing tools down the road because something else is better. So the first one is the granddaddy of them all in terms of what everybody's very familiar with and understands is OpenAI's GPT-3 and GPT-4. So this is the famous engine that ChatGPT is built on. And the strengths in this particular platform is that it is highly capable of generating human-like text. So it can make it excellent for creating articles, stories, and conversational content. So if you want to be able to create blog posts, if you want to be able to create summaries or notes, if you want bullet points about something, if you want the general idea of what certain types of tools or what certain top lists of this or bottom lists of that or whatever, it can do all of those things for us. It can do the basic research, it can create it, and it can structure it in a way that's easily formatted. So it's a great tool to use as an outline generator and as a bullet maker, right? If we want to compile a list of the best whatever or those kinds of things, it's very good for that kind of stuff. It can be fine-tuned for specific styles or topics also. So if there's a particular style that you like, it can write in those styles as well. And it can also fine-tune particular topics. You can also drill down. So you can ask questions, and then you can ask additional follow-up questions, and it will give you more and more information. So it offers versatile content creation capabilities. It's very good in terms of that context. Now, in terms of weaknesses, one of the challenges that it's had is that it may produce irrelevant or repetitive content if the prompts aren't good, right? So the quality of its responses are linked and based on the quality of the queries, the quality of the prompts. If we put in highly specific and really qualified good prompts, we're likely to get very good answers and very good results. If, on the other hand, we put in very general things, then we're likely to get general responses. And again, if you ask it the same thing 10 times with a general question, it might reorder what it gives you, but you're going to basically get the same kinds of things. It also requires monitoring and editing to make sure that it's accurate and to prevent the dissemination of misinformation, because we don't want to be putting things out there with our name on it that's content that's factually inaccurate. For things that are vitally important that they're accurate, then it's even more important to be very vigilant about any kind of content that we get. That said, it is an effective tool. I've used it for various different things, and I know that it works. My kids say that the students in the schools now are using it as well, and so I know sometimes more than they probably should be, but they're able to use it as well for topic generation and things like that. It's a very good brainstorming tool as well for that reason. It can give you a multitude of ideas about any one particular topic, which then you can expand upon yourself. The next tool that we want to talk about is focused more on the visual elements, and that is DALL-E and Imagen, right? The strengths of DALL-E by OpenAI and Imagen by Google are that they have state-of-the-art in terms of generating high-quality images from text descriptions. One of the things that's really awesome about this is with both of those tools, what we can do is we can enter a text description and it will actually create a version of an image for us. I remember using one of these tools very early on, and I remember writing, "Make me a watercolor leopard," and it literally drew a painting that looked like a leopard that was done in watercolor. Now, the quality of it was suspect. You wouldn't have mistaken it for an artist's work, but at the same time, it actually was able to do it and did it pretty well. And it's gotten far more sophisticated since then because we can give it more specific information about backgrounds, about the various kinds of things that we want, and we can have it actually design art using a particular style, which is really cool because what it allows you to do is get images and visuals that match an aesthetic that you're trying to create for your brand. And so it's useful for creating unique visual content that could accompany text or standalone. And for this, there's no shame in using it because the fact of the matter is, unless your product, unless your content is your art, right? If you're an artist, then you may not want to be using it because obviously what makes you unique is your art style and your ability and your works. But if you are a blogger, if you are a website owner and you've written a post or you made a podcast post or whatever, and you want a cool image to be able to accompany that, there's nothing wrong with using that because you can get the exact image you want. In creating blog posts and podcasts, one of the challenges through the test of time here is that what you normally need to do is go to one of the sites like Pixabay or Pexels, and you need to do a search for sort of the image that you're looking for. And for some of the images to match your post, it's very easy. If you want something about a sunrise, there's going to be a million like photos that you could download and you could use them, and they're all going to be good. But if you had something specific that you wanted to reference, it's very hard sometimes to find an image that actually captures that. This is where AI can really come in, because these particular tools can then be used. So instead of getting a stock photo that also other people might be using, so it makes your content less unique, you could actually have the AI create an image for you that is unique to you, that also hits the post on the head, because you could give it specific directions. So that is a really powerful use of it to create visuals to accompany your other content. And again, unless your content is the visual art itself, there's nothing wrong with doing that, right? It's like when Cheerios makes an image for their box. The rules and the guidelines for product marketing like that, and I'm not a legal scholar, but the fact of the matter is, the general idea is that as long as the product itself that you're advertising is real, you can use other props around it that are fake. Some people might know this, some people might not, but when they need to simulate milk in a product that uses milk in it, what they often do is use glue, because glue is super white, but it's also very thick. And so when you are putting something in it, it makes it really stand out. It makes it look really bright white, and also it makes it easy to have the image or the visual look really great because of the fact that it isn't sinking into the milk. It will sit on top of the glue, and so they're able to use that. Same kind of idea, right? What we want to do is we want to accentuate the content that we're making by using AI. So if we are creating art or we do have images, maybe we want to use it to create backgrounds for it. Otherwise, we can use it to create the images to accompany our text or our audio or our videos or whatever else. Weaknesses among those platforms is that it can sometimes generate images that don't entirely match the requested descriptions or expectations. And of course, if you're paying for it, then one of the issues that you have there is the more times you have to regenerate it, the more money that you're spending. The other issue is I've seen it make images that don't actually look right. A man at a computer and like his arm is cut off or something like that, or the fingers are all smushed together. It just doesn't look right. So it doesn't look authentic. So that can happen. The other potential issue is ethical and copyright considerations, because if you're asking it to create something in a particular style of a current living artist or whatever, then you may run into some issues where that person might be upset because you're using essentially their style, which there's ongoing debate as to whether or not there's copyright issues with that or not, and obviously the ethics of it. So that's something you need to search your own soul for and decide what makes the most sense. But those considerations need to be managed, especially with images that resemble real people or copyrighted material. So that is where you're definitely going to be in a gray area. If you're having it create an image of someone who currently is a living person and it isn't you, then you may have issues there as well. So those things would all be things that you need to check. The next tool is Canva's Magic Write. So Canva's Magic Write is a really cool tool, especially if you're already using Canva. If you're not using Canva, then it's probably less useful. But the strengths of this tool are that it's integrated with Canva's design platform. So one of the really nice things about it is it makes it easy to produce graphic design and text content simultaneously. So now you're going to be able to have it create the text along with the images. It's a very powerful image editing tool. It has its issues as well. There are other tools out there that are good, but it's a very popular tool that a lot of people use. So oftentimes when we make visuals, we also need text to go along with it. And so most often the way that works is we go text and then image, right, in that order. But we could also do it the opposite way. In Canva, we could create the image And then we can also have it create the text, which is very useful for things like marketing materials, social media posts, and other design-focused content where we need a mixture of text and we need images. For in terms of weaknesses, the text generation might be a little bit less sophisticated compared to dedicated AI text generators. And again, obviously it will evolve, but that's true. But ChatGPT-3 and GPT-4 may ultimately produce better quality content. So it just depends on how important the text element is to you, to your overall design. It also may require some manual adjustment and design skills to achieve the best results. It doesn't always format it in the way that we'd like it to actually look or appear. The next tool is called Jasper, and this was formerly known as Jarvis. And so this particular tool specializes in marketing and SEO content. So it's capable of generating compelling copy, blog posts, and advertisements. So if we want to be SEO forward, and we want to be able to create things that are going to get search engine rankings and things like that, this particular tool is designed to be able to do that. And so it offers tools that are specifically designed to enhance content for the purpose of SEO. So if the idea is that we want things that search engines are going to latch onto and they're going to generate content that is has a higher likelihood of getting ranked, then that's a tool that we could potentially lean on to use. One of the downsides is that the quality of the output can vary. So again, like most of these tools, you're seeing a recurring theme that it does require human oversight and editing. In most cases, for all of these tools, it's not as simple as just typing in a few commands, having it spit out the results and using it. Most often, we need to still take a look at it, but proofing something is still a lot easier than writing it from scratch ourselves. So it can require human oversight and editing. The other issue is, because it's a subscription, it can actually add up fast and be costly, especially for the advanced features and higher usage limits. So if you're using it a lot and you want to create a lot of SEO content, if that isn't a part of your marketing strategy where you have a budget for it, that may be an issue. The next tool is Synthesia. And Synthesia specializes in creating AI-generated videos. So now we're getting into the multimedia realm here, where users can produce videos with virtual avatars and synthesize voices. And so you see the mouth move, and it moves in conjunction with the words. It's not exact, but it's pretty good. These are very good for creating educational content. They're very good if we don't want to be seen on screen, to be able to make things that look like talking head videos and things like that, even though we're not actually doing it ourselves. It's very good for product demos, marketing videos, and we don't need to do the actual video recording ourselves. So if we don't want to be on video, if we don't have the equipment, if we don't have the expertise, things like that. In terms of weaknesses, it has a limited range of avatars and voices. So the more this stuff gets created, the more sort of lookalike stuff is out there and the more it looks repetitious. So it can affect the diversity and customization of videos. So if we're making a lot, it could also get tired and boring. It also might not fully replace the nuance and authenticity of videos featuring real people. I've yet to see an AI video creator that can make a podcast video like I can, because it's my own person, it's my own voice, it's my own inflection, all of those other things. It can do a lot, and it can simulate it really well, but people are very good at being able to tell real from on, and real still wins. These tools illustrate the diversity in AI-assisted content creation. Each caters to a different need, like text generation, image creation, design, or video production. And the choice of the tool that we're going to use often depends on the specific type of the content that we need, the level of the quality that we need, and of course the budget, because some of the tools are expensive. The takeaway here is that it's smart to use AI to help with content creation because it makes it faster and easier. But we need to be careful to use it as a tool to enhance our content and not use it to replace ourselves. Our unique voice, perspective, experience, background, and personality are the things that make us who we are and make us unique. We need to keep that authenticity and uniqueness so when we're creating a following, we're doing it based on what's real and impossible to duplicate. That is how we can build an enduring following and brand. Be sure to subscribe so you get every episode and share it with a friend. And until next time, remember, no matter what you want from your business and your life, don't compromise, optimize.